Well, welcome and thanks so much for attending. I'm going to let you know a little bit about what I've been doing for the past year, and I feel like I'm more of a general contractor and more of an electrical engineer and more of a lot of other things other than a plant physiologist and to get this kind of project up and going. But Maricopa, Arizona, and the USDA facility there has had a long-standing reputation for large-scale experiments that have been used widely by many, including Bruno and a couple of the other people in the room. So how do I advance this thing? So thank you. We're calling it the Thermal Regime Agronomic Serial Experiment, TRACE, a catchy acronym. And I have to thank my technician, Ms. Laura Olivieri, who came up with that. But trace gives you the illusion of time. Trace rhymes with face. We did 10 years of face experiments there. And you see a progression from seed to seedling to pre-anthesis to harvest. So at any one point, you're going to have a multitude of different types of crops in the, at different phenological stages. And so we also wanted to have a genotypic component because our new mission in ARS for our climate change group is G by E by M, and we want to certainly do that. So we're using a spring wheat, and this is my old favorite because I've been working with that since 19 bobbity boom back in the 80s. We use a durum wheat, we're using a barley, and we're exploring a triticale, which is a rye by wheat, which actually you're going to find it's done remarkably well. Well, we have our environment and we have our management. Well, in our environment, in our nice solar environment here, you can see it's what, in the high 80s and it's November, what? Gets as high as, I think my highest day out in the field that solar noon was about 120. So it gets pretty warm here sometimes. Anyway, we got 8 dates, 4 genotypes, 4 reps, 2 years, multiple different grain types under different regimes from -2 to actually it's greater than 42. But you'll notice here there's a T critical, there's a T max, and then there's this other little point right here that came into play. And you see this is planting 1 and 2, 3, 4, 5 down to 8. And what's happening is we're pushing the phenology of the crop into the thermal death zone. Our objective here is not to get a great yield. Our objective here is to get no yield. I guess they finally found something I'll be good at. Anyway, so our G by E by M, we have weather management, soils, phenology, growth, and yield. And our hypotheses, essentially, I'm not going to read them off, but they're essentially to look at the thermal response, and we want to know if it's similar among different grain crops. Do we need different cultivar-specific parameterization? And can we accurately depict the thermal response amongst the species? We'll look after the G by E by M. And then we want to understand the deleterious effects of thermal stress with regard to T-critical and what how that may be influenced in the modeling community. Well, before we could do anything, we had to figure out what our material was going to be, and we had to consider things like the photoperiod, because the photoperiod is going to be changing throughout the experiment. So we did an extensive greenhouse trial. We looked at about 34 to maybe 36 different lines of material as they came in. They were growing in a warm environment, and we had installed lights to extend the day length, and we picked the ones that actually did the best, because essentially, we want to pick our best and then stress it till it becomes our worst so we know just what kind of trouble we're in. I think there's, what, roughly a 50-day coarse grain supply in the world globally, so it won't take too many more crashes in major crop-producing areas before food security becomes more than just a buzzword. Anyway, meteorological conditions. You're in Arizona. It's November. You're loving it, right? I'll put you there in August 21st in 120-degree weather collecting stomata conducting state, and we'll see how you feel. Anyway, these are the planting dates, and they're corresponding with the differences in temperatures. Again, cold early, I had my T-min. I also had my T-max. My T-critical here And as you can see, this is a repeat of a prior slide, but I'm pushing the crop further and further into the heat, and I'm doing it for 1 year and 2 years. So what I've been doing mostly, and this actually boils down to the hot cereal experiment that we did in the past, which was a planting date study where we came back and we hit our T critical about 32. So we were forcing this crop into death. We actually killed quite a few of them. But this time we're shortening up the intervals as we get further and further into the heat so we can really hone in on that thermal death zone. I'm going to blow it up to express that point one more time. This is the T critical right here in both years. Well, this is an example of how you use a model to plan an experiment as opposed to doing an experiment to build a model. Inverse application, but it's duly noted. Here we have back in 1993 when we did the face experiments, all the red dots are the phenology, the Zadek scale from 0 to 100. And here what we did is we used the temperature data and we ran the simulations, and actually the data looks pretty good. A little underestimation here, a little under here and over there, but for the most part did well. And then what we did is we basically took the temperature regimes that would be projected during our intervals and we collapsed the crop. And the hypothesis is, when I'm all said and done and I put my real data and I superimpose it over this plot, am I going to accept my hypothesis that the model's fine, or am I going to reject it? And my hypothesis is I'm going to reject it because the models are not going to be able to capture this collapse. Right, Senthol? Anyway, so we got a big experiment. We got a split plot design. Planting dates, like I said, 8. We got 4 genotypes, 4 reps. We got block 1, 2, 3, 4. Here's our planting dates that are randomized at the top of the block. And so we got your Coro Rojo, we got a Durum, we have a Barley, and we have a Pacheco, who's our shining knight in armor there. And we have an on-site weather station, an ET-NOT Class A meteorological weather station with 12 centimeters of Bermuda grass. So we're getting our own on-site in-situ weather station for all our irrigation predictions and so forth. Anyway, this is the site of the Mac farm, and I'm way out here, so I am way out with plenty of fetch and plenty of good sensible heat advection and all types of other things that could stress the crop out so I can kill my wheat. This is just a global Earth satellite view of an oat crop growing. And we also did a fair amount of work in terms of diagrams and agronomic implements. This is a drip tape irrigation system with a flood irrigation for germination. So we had to get all our farm implements and our wheel tracks and our drip tape spacings and all our implements. We also have an activity area where we have, similar in the prior face experiments, real estate is up for grabs if you have a grad student or you're interested in partaking. So we have an activity area here where we could do all our sampling, and we have a no-traffic harvest area here. We use proximal carts. We're using an Avenger tractor for high-throughput phenotyping. We have our John Deere tractor hooked up to a precision plant that I'll show a little bit later. And we were just fortunate enough to get a brand-new small grains plot combine for $250,000. So I'm very happy to see that coming down the pipeline. Well, I'm going to delve in deep in one little area, and then I want you to think that this is the same type of level of work that we're doing in all the other areas. I'm going to look at characterizing the soil physical properties with EM38 data collection, going back and forth. What do? We generate a nice little schematic, and we can say, oh, well, what are we going to do with this mess? I got a lot of clay up here, and I got a lot of sand down there. Well, I can block this, I can block that, I can block that, and I can control my soil variability by rearranging my replications as a function of the soil physics map, which actually worked out quite well. We used this program, this ESAP program, to be able to pick various points which were the most furthest away from each other, the least likely neighborhood scenario. We went out there and did a bunch of soil physics, and we came up with, lo and behold, soil physical files. This is actually one of Bruce's files, I think, that I borrowed. But this is from the hot serial experiment, which is on part of the same land that I'm doing my experiment, and now I'm expanding those soil physics files. So you can envision a 3D grid across all of those plots, and then you can extrapolate to the centroid of each plot, and you can have a soil physics file to each plot. Well, I had to learn how to buy equipment, so we went out and bought this Monoseed Precision Planter, and lo and behold, we're able to plant the seed every 0.75 inches away, actually 0.64 inches away, 0.75 inches at 7.5-inch row spacing for a 300-plant population that basically pops when it germinates because the precision planter puts everything in the ground exactly where you want it, theoretically. And this is, here we are planting. We had, having a little problem here. Anyway, so we have 5 planting dates from March through June 2016. So not only did we plant something, we actually planted something. Imagine that. We had some happy plants, and we also decided, with the help of some colleagues at the Potsdam Institute of Climatic Impact Research, where I'll be spending a sabbatical in the next month, and working with Bernard Schellhuber and Frank Bexson, who are also co-authors on this work, in terms of developing the TRACE pipeline. The TRACE pipeline is going to be able to take weather data, remote sensing data, or ground truth data, feed into an ET model that then allows us to get our real-time irrigation estimates, and all that data will filter down into some canopy level energy balance work eventually, hopefully. Well, we did manage, we did manage to have strip 4 and strip 6, which was a March, and then a later planting, and you can see we did get some, in terms of biomass, we got Beretta, Cronus, Pacheco, Yacoro Rojo. Here's our benchmark, same cultivar used in the FACE experiment and in the hot cereal experiment, but Pacheco's the winner, the hybrid between the wheat and the rye so far for this particular planting. And then you can see in the second planting, things got a little more dismal, and when we get the other ones done, you're going to see it really crash and burn. In fact, in some places I saw plants that were this high with, you know, a head about this big, and I went through the head and I found one shriveled little grain in there. So, I mean, we really nailed it in that June planting. Well, yield is about the same story, but yield's a little bit less down here. And that's all the real data I have for you. So with that, I want to thank my colleagues at ALOC and University of Arizona Partners and PIK Partners in Germany. Thank you so much.
It's time for a couple of questions. Yes, please.
Yeah. Right. It's a ground penetrating radar,
okay.
EM38. And so, you know, I think it's the more clay you have, the higher the signal.
Okay. So
either that or it's the opposite of that.
It's electrical conductivity.
Right.
No.
You're right.
No ground penetrating.
I was just testing it. Yeah.
So it's kind of a sensor.
It's a sensor, yeah.
You get proxies for it. It doesn't give you texture. You got to build a relationship. It just measures the conductivity of the signal of the current.
Okay. Thank you.
I had a soil physicist do that for me.
Any other questions? Yes, Ted.
Gary, how many years, you might have said, how many years is this supposed to have on
the board? That's a good question. We've got 5 plantings. This year we're going to get 8. The second year we'll get 8, so we have the magic number 21. And then as long as ARS continues to fund it, then this particular type of design lends itself to a lot of different options. One option would be to create a irrigation deficit treatment and add the extra M in there, so then we have a G by E and a real M. Because in this particular experiment, E is confounded with M, as M is confounded with E, because M is your management, which is your planting date, and E is your environment that you're using to get the thermal stress. So when we get to the final phase, and we get I envision five plantings under the under a wet and dry scenario, and four under a control scenario, which would give me I use up all nine strips that I have. I have one spare strip, but then I'd have like a 50% or 70% reduction in ET, based on ET. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks for bailing me out, Bruno.